Well, hello, everybody. I want to
Hello.
welcome you to today's broadcast of the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, here on WCF Radio Los Angeles and around the world on the app. So thankful that you're here. Today we have an amazing guest. His name is Pastor Stan Lovins. He's an evangelist, and he's out there preaching the truth of the Word of God and seeing people getting saved, set free, healed, and delivered all around the country. And he's a good friend of mine. So I want to welcome Stan Lovins to the broadcast in just a minute. Before we do that, you can visit our website, pastortodd.org, pastortodd.org. And we have a new book out called Come Out From Among Them. And that's available on the website, or you can go to pastortoddbook.com. All right, let's get into today's broadcast with evangelist and minister Stan Lovins. All right, Mr. Stan Lovins, want to welcome you to the broadcast, my friend. How are you?
Well, it's a joy to be with you, my friend, Todd Coconato. What a great man of God you are. Appreciate you and your family, man. Well, we love you.
The feeling is mutual. You and I have known each other for a while. We've done ministry together. We've seen people getting saved, set free, healed, delivered. That's why I know that is, in fact, what you are doing out there. And I love just hearing updates, because I know wherever Stan Lovins goes, there's a move of God, because you allow the Lord to move. And you have such a purity in the way that you walk, man. And so I just want to appreciate that about you and your wife and your amazing family. And so what's been the latest and greatest over there?
Well, thank you, brother. I dearly love you and your wife as well, and your family, and the extension of what God's doing in your life as well. And you know what, one thing I appreciate about you, before I get into what God's doing, one thing I appreciate you is your genuineness. You're very genuine and very authentic. You and your beautiful wife, and what God's doing in your family. And you have a heart to reach the generation. This generation is starving and literally hungry for a Father start to impart. They're so desiring to see signs, wonders, feelings, and miracles, and they just haven't been able to see it. So thank you for your obedience to walk in the fullness of what Jesus Christ has commissioned to do, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot, especially coming from you, man. And, you know, likewise, I mean, you have such a heart for souls and for, you know, let me just say this. Let me brag on you for a minute. I don't do this a lot, but I got to do this with Stan. Stan is one of the guys that, like, you know, you see a lot of people on social media and, you know, good, bad, all different things. A lot of people want credit for everything, you know, and what I've seen in the Christian world is there's some people that won't do something unless they get credit for it. You know, they're out there and, you know, it's always like, look at me, look what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm not saying it's all bad. It's you know, but we just got to be careful about that. But one of the things about Stan, which I really appreciate, and if you know Stan, you'll know this to be true, is there's a lot of things that he does where he's not getting credit. In fact, a lot of times where he is, you know, helping a family for hours and hours and hours get delivered, and you'll never see it on social media, and no one will ever talk about it unless they talk about it, because Stan's not going to talk about it, you know. And so, you know, or he might mention in passing or something, but, you know, he's not bragging on himself. You know, he'll say God moved in a powerful way. I just want to appreciate that about you, because I don't see that a lot, Stan. I always think of the scripture that says, you know, where you're going to get your reward. You know, if you get your reward from the accolades of man, that is your reward. But if you do it in the secret place or in the secret, you know, your reward is in heaven. And I really believe you have a lot of reward coming in heaven, because that's something that you do on a daily basis, counseling folks and talking to folks, getting them delivered. A lot of it is not in the public eye. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you know, that's been a big part of it, is behind the scenes, kind of going stealth and building up the body of Christ and worship. And those who are downcast and brokenhearted, they don't know where to go. They've been stuck in a religious quagmire. And they don't know how to get out of it. They're suffocating to death. And so we need to go after them. We need to leave the 99.
That's right.
A good friend of mine, Billy Ballinger, has a song, Leave the 99. And it's so true. We got to, sometimes we have to leave the 99. Now, that doesn't indicate that the 99 is not valuable, because I love winning souls. I love seeing hundreds of thousands coming to know Jesus. But at the same time, we know that it's that intimate time that brings transformation, that builds a foundation, that builds a root. And you can go into a family and go into a household and restore marriage and restore relationship between, and many times it's in leadership, you know, because they haven't poured into their own kids, their own children, and their children are struggling and they're suicidal. Now you come into that. The Bible talks about, you know, if you can help win over a brother that's fallen astray, you cover a multitude of sins.
Right.
And so, man, foundationally, we can get grassroots and bring transformation. And I believe that's the hour that we're in right now, is seeing transformation at a grassroots level. And by that, build up foundationally, we're going to see a glorious explosion of God's glory that's pouring out upon his everyday people that are longing and hungry for the true Father's heart, Jim Park. Amen.
Amen. And it's happening. And this is where, so I get a lot of letters. I'm sure you get these also, where people are saying, I'm so discouraged of what's happening in the world. I look at the world. I look at the news. I hear horrible reports, very egregious things. I think you and I, Stan, have a unique perspective because we go out a lot of places as evangelists, preachers, and we see a move of God that is indeed happening. So how do you balance that when folks say it's, you know, because I know there's a lot of people that they don't see what we see. And so we're almost, I liken it to a police officer that, you know, sees a lot of domestics, you know, in an area. And so he knows what's going on in that area. Oh, they have a high, you know, percentage of people that are doing domestic violence in this area or whatever, you know, so they know, like, you know, we in the good aspect know, hey, there's a lot of revival happening. We know a different perspective than what somebody that's maybe just attending a weekly service in a church and maybe it's dead, maybe it's not, but you know, they're not seeing what we're seeing out there. Can you kind of expound upon what's actually happening? Because I know you've been in ministry for a long time, as have I, and in the last, I'd say 3 years, I've really seen an acceleration of a move of God. What have you seen?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, back in 2020, God told my wife, my beautiful wife, Camille and I, to, you know, sell your home and to go the distance to be social and bring healing to the hurting. And so during this whole scandemic, this whole shutdown, God transformed things. And we were in 20 states, 39 cities, so thousands of healings and miracles. And we didn't have cameras catching, you know, captivating and all that. Some of it we did. But in the reality was we saw people that were hungry. Yeah. And so some key elements that I look for is people that are hungry. First, they got to be hungry. If they're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the Bible, it's a promise. God says they shall be filled.
That's right.
And so I love being around people that are hungry and thirsting, not That's because it. They learned about all the theology of different denominations. No, because they're just simply hungering and thirsting for Jesus. They want the fullness of God. They're done with religion. They're done with this garbage, this quagmire. The cesspool, what I call algae on a pond, that sucks out the life of people and see the physical belly up. God wants to impart to his people. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I mean, we were just in Indianapolis a few weeks back, and a friend of mine pulled together a gathering, and they had several churches come together. And as I went to this, it was in Beach Grove, Indiana. And as I walked up, the first thing I got, and I just want to be transparent, I'm not going to say any names, but I had two different pastors that were arguing. And so they were differing, and now we're got an outreach going. We're literally in the white ghetto, Hispanic ghetto, the black ghetto. It's all right there, all hostility. And so I've got two leaders that are odd. So I said, hang on, you need to do Matthew 18, seek the Lord. You need to come together. You first need to set that apart, come together. I said, because we came here to set the captives free and draw these beautiful people under Jesus. So I went ahead, and as I ministered, I was blessed to see, you know, there's about 125 people in that tent, and there was over 40 salvations on that Friday night. Wow. And then the power of the Holy Spirit began to move, and people were getting healed and filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, the next day, I told them, get baptized. And they had already planned for that in a pool that they had brought. So I went to the pool, and I'm expecting, you know, maybe half those people to come. Well, man, there was over 40 people, including the pastor's wife. They wanted to get baptized. But before that, we begin to flow, and these beautiful kids, not talking about children that are 3, 4, and 5 years of age, some of them are teenagers, but they were getting in touch with the power of the Holy Spirit and resting in the Spirit. That means when the Holy Spirit comes on, they're just thrown out in the Holy Ghost glory, and God is breathing upon him. He's bringing his dominion power back to them, and he's birthing life back to them. He's doing healing, signs, miracles. They were being touched so much that they experienced the presence of God, that they got back up and came back a second time, a third time, because they wanted to know the power of the living God. Wow. And, you know, as you know, our God's a consuming fire of God. We have so much that we haven't even begun to tap into. And as much as you and I have been blessed to see, and many others, God wants to breathe out a whole lot more if we just come like those beautiful little children.
Yes.
And someone had captivated that moment. And, man, I was in tears just watching, because I grew up in a white ghetto myself, right? I grew up in a torment home. And in the midst of that, I know what it feels like to be rejected. I know what it's like to be beat and abused and tormented and molested. And, you know, all those elements. So that was in my household. So knowing what I know now on the other side of that, where the liberty is, where the freedom is, and that Jesus going to all shame, we don't have to have and hold on to that thing. And I'm seeing these kids get set free. And there was a 14-year-old girl that had been through sexual abuse in her household. And yes, for all those who may be listening, yes, we turn that over to the local authorities as well, because I believe in God can utilize the authorities to bring justice and bring awareness. And someone can, if that's abusing somebody, sometimes they need to be set apart behind the jail cell to reevaluate their life and get right with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I just want to preface that, so anybody that's listening would say, hey, you know, what did you do about that little girl that's being violated? Well, we got her some counsel as well.
Good. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed in the ministry is that more people have been molested or had something along those lines happen than not, which is pretty, a lot of people feel like that hasn't happened to so many people and that they're alone in going through that. But the truth is there, especially in our generation, Stan, you know, I mean, so much of this has happened. And I think the church has done a real good job of kind of sweeping it under the rug, not addressing this, not addressing drug addiction, opiate addiction, methamphetamine addiction, all these different addictions, pornography. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really blessed to see this Sound of Freedom movie that's out there that's really just blown up. If anything else, because people are saying, well, what good is it doing? Look, if it's done nothing else, it's brought awareness. And it's an area that I've known about for many years. I toured the border, you know, during the Trump era. I went down and I talked to the ICE people and they were telling me how many people are trafficked over the border. And now it's even expounded. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening right now. Thousands, you know, hundreds of thousands a year. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable the numbers. And these kids are, you know, they're just in society. We barely talk about them. Now the movie has brought awareness and this has become a conversation. But you in the ministry address this a lot because of what you walked through. In fact, you were on the Sid Roth show and you talked about a personal experience that happened to you. Tell the folks, because I know there's listeners right now that have not gotten healing in this area. They feel like they're alone and they've been molested. They've had some type of thing happen when they were a child and it's never been dealt with. You deal in deliverance ministry. What would you say to the folks that are listening right now? I know they're listening. They're like, oh my gosh, is he talking to me? Yes. I really believe God has you here for a reason today on this broadcast, because Stan walks in a very powerful anointing and this area gets a lot of people healed and set free. What do you speak to? So say you're talking to somebody, first time you've ever met them. Here it is. Now you found out they've been molested. What happens? What do you say?
Well, first of all, we go up to the root of it. You know, the root of it, you know, if they were molested at three or they were fondled at the age of two and they don't even remember it, but it's in there. We let the Holy Spirit navigate that whole conversation. And I just ask God, Lord, where's the root? What's the hold up here? What's restricting them from their breakthrough? And, you know, like even you and I both know pastors. I mean, I've seen several pastors that have been through abuse. They got set free. And, they testified this openly. I mean, one of them was Greg Locke, another one was Jim Baker. And and I've been blessed to really pour into some of these people to get them freed up, to activate, equip to their freedom away from fear. So, you know, another pastor that I know, Pastor Kevin Wilson, who was violated by a guy by the name of John Wayne Gacy, the serial killer. And so he had held on to that bondage for 44 years from the age of 16 to the age of 60. Hmm. And God utilized a word, direct word, when I was ministering to him, and he got delivered and he got healed physically at the same time. So I'm sharing this with you. It's not just the child that's in the streets. It's everyday born again believers and even leaders that have been through trauma. And as you said and alluded to earlier, many of the church folks have swept it under the rug. They don't want to change the name of the church or their family name. And I'll just be transparent to say, to hell with that name. I'm going with the name above every name, Jesus Christ. Come on. Because Jesus wants to heal his people. So if someone's hurting and broken, they've been through incest or rape or gang rape, we begin to walk them through, first of all, receiving Jesus. When they receive Jesus and receive his forgiveness and his love, then they can walk in their authority to reject the stain that he took on. Jesus took on all stain in Hebrews chapter 12.
Right.
He scorched all stain and nailed it to the cross of Calvary. And then he rose again. When he rose again, he conquered death, hell, shame, and the grave to give us all a blessed day. But from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they do, because there is a spiritual battle going on. It's spiritual principalities, not flesh and blood. And that's one of the things I had to come to grips with. I had to forgive my dad, who molested me at the age of seven and violated all my sisters, beat us, all kinds of abuse. I had to forgive him. as Jesus forgave me. And when I forgave him, God healed me. I was already born again. I was already given my heart to Jesus. But I still had this bitterness and that pent up anguish on the inside that until I forgave him, God couldn't release it until I trusted God. Mark chapter 11, it says, you know, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. So that so too your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. Now, I know there's some that maybe naysayers saying, well, I can't forget that person. They did too much. And I can't remember all their names. I can't even remember all their faces. Well, I want to share with you, number one, you want to be obedient to Jesus. Because if you're obedient to Jesus, then he can free you. If you're disobedient, then you're rebelling, and that's a form of witchcraft. Mm. The Bible says when you forgive, doesn't mean you trust them. I just want to clarify. I never trust my dad. I trust my Heavenly Father.
Right.
But I was trusting my Heavenly Father to forgive him, and Jesus forgave me. And when I did, God blessed me to actually lead my dad to Jesus on his deathbed, and he got delivered.
Wow.
And so he got delivered self-free. Demons came screaming off him because he had been violent. I never told anybody. So I'm just sharing this with you as a viewer and a listener right now that Jesus is a jealous God for you, and he wants you free. He wants you healed. He wants you delivered, and he wants you saved more than you desire to be saved. Because he's a just God.
Yeah.
Jesus came to set the captive free.
Yeah.
So not only do you reject the shame, you receive Jesus and you reject the shame. Then once you reject the shame, you must forgive. Right. You need to forgive them by name if you know their name. Now some that are listening, maybe you were violated, maybe it was a gang rape and you don't even remember you don't know their name. But you can remember their faces. It's time to, like David faced Goliath, it's time for you to face that giant. You need to look into their face and say, I forgive you. That image in your head, I forgive you. And when you're doing it, you're taking authority over the trauma, over the shame, over everything they impacted and injected in you that was not to be amongst you.
All right, wait, let me stop you for a second. That this is hard to do, though, because it's, you know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. I mean, this is a person that has violated them. One of the worst violations possible, and a lot of anger and rage and, you know, all this stuff comes from that. So how do you forgive, Stan? How do you do that?
It's simply trusting the one who forgave us. You know, we've all sinned and fought for the Lord God. I've done things that I'm not happy about. You know, I've done shameful things in my past before my pre-Jesus days. And even a few times after I gave my heart to Jesus, God was still cleaning me up.
Right.
He was renewing my mind. So from a personal testimony, then it became easy when God said, you haven't forgiven your dad. I needed to forgive him. And it became really easy. I had to forgive my coach who cut me my senior of high school basketball and baseball. Right. You know, in whatever category it is, you must forgive. That's a foundational biblical principle. When you forgive as Jesus forgave you, then it releases you to be free. It releases you to walk in your gift and calling. And then you begin to testify. You know, that's why I'm testifying today, you know, because I've overcome. I'm no longer in survival mode.
Mm.
And you don't have to be either. Many people get stuck in survival mode. And they're looking over their shoulder to see where that next attack's going to be. Well, when you turn it over to God and you say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk by faith right now. I know it's not easy. I know it's scary. Because you've seen it, especially if you have to continue to go around that perpetrator, that person who's violated you.
Yeah. That's a whole other level, right? You got to go around them. They're in your family. You got to, you know, go to Christmas. There they are. It's your father. It's, you know, it's somebody that's like right there. You know, that's even harder. Yeah.
And that's where I walk through all this. I'm not telling somebody anything different than what I had to walk through myself. I had to see my dad at the birthday parties, at the ballparks, even come to our ministry meetings and walk like a wolf on the backside, and just prowling. But I would have security watching so he wouldn't violate anybody else. And so, but I wanted him to come know Jesus. And I had that passion for them. And, you know, I like to go back to scripture because it says, love your enemies.
Right.
And I learned how to love my enemies.
That's not and, easy, brother. Nope.
It's not easy, but my dad should have been my best hero, but he was my worst enemy, and he was my worst villain on this side, right?
Right.
But when I forgave him, it released me, and there was a confidence that rose up. And I want to share with somebody right now that's on teetering on this, and I can't forgive him. Listen, it doesn't mean that there won't be more attacks, because my dad attacked me several times. And one of the times he attacked, I'm talking about after I was full-blown in ministry, I'd forgiven him. He attacked me when he attacked me, but because I had forgiven him, because I had trusted in the Lord, when he went to strike me and he punched me right here on the forehead, the Holy Spirit quickened me and told me to stand. And when he did, literally, I'm telling you, when he struck me, it literally felt like somebody just tapped me on the forehead and something picked his behind up and knocked him back 12 to 15 feet, and he began to gasp for air. And so, in obedience to God, God sends forth his warning angel, and he will quicken and protect you.
Yes.
He will lead you. He will direct you. That's the promise that a lot of people don't know or they haven't experienced. But God's a jealous God for your commission that he put in you.
That's right.
And he wants you to know him. And if you know him, you know peace. If you know him, you know peace that surpasses your understanding. And so when you walk through forgiveness today and you begin to forgive them and say, I don't trust them, but I forgive them and I trust you, Jesus. And then once you do that, then you bless them. You bless those perpetrators.
Right.
Then you bless them to be healed, delivered, freed, and saved.
Yeah.
And if they're not willing to be healed, free, delivered, saved, then we arrest them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can even turn them over to Satan to be accepted so that their soul shall be saved. I know this is a fire hose coming at you today. But to simplify this, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, don't be a sacrifice. Jesus is a sacrifice.
Right.
Be obedient.
Be the
and then
person.
You can walk in your healing.
Yeah.
And then you begin to testify, and that's when you overcome. We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Come on. That's it.
And so God wants you to live as an overcomer, not as a survivor, God wants you to survive, of course, because I had to survive for 27 years before I gave my heart to Jesus.
Right.
And even I was still stuck in survival mode for about 3 or 4 years until God revealed to me how to overcome.
Right.
And so even though I was seeing thousands come to know Jesus and many, many healings and ministering to leaders and whatnot, I was still hurt. There was still a little boy on the inside.
Yeah.
That was still scared, still broken, still need to walk in obedience, to forgive. So, you know, if you're here today and you say, that's me, you know, I want to surrender everything. I'm tired of all this torment, this taunting, this demonic dreams that I'm having, the attacks of the enemy violating me over and over again. Listen, it's time to break that chain today.
Well, I want to add something too. You know, wives that have been battered, abused physically, you know, we get a lot of mail from wives that have been abused in relationships. And they've said, my pastor says I have to stay. And I always say, get out of the situation. That mean you got to get divorced, but get away from the abuser. Yeah. You got to get away.
Yeah.
So this applies to everything that you're talking to. If you're in a situation now, what if somebody says, because we get this sometimes, Stan, where they say, I have nowhere to go. I can't, I don't have money. I can't get away. What would you say to people like that?
Well, first of all, God's your provider. You know, be obedient to God. Step into it and get yourself free. You know, I had to step in the situation with my mom. And when my dad attacked me, God showed me a vision that I was going to get attacked. But when I went, he attacked me 3 times and wrestled me to the ground. And when he tried to strike me again, this time God stopped his fist from mid-strike about 6 to 8 inches away from my face. And he said, oh, turn my cheek, because God turned my cheek. And he dropped. I didn't touch him.
Hmm.
So I'm telling you, in obedience to God, when you step out, you can't remain in enslavement. How can you expect God to free you when you're not going to take a step?
That's good.
God wants you, faith is a step. And so you can't have you and your baby getting beat and tormented. We just mentioned to two different women that are going through this very same thing, but they're both getting free. And one of them is filing for a divorce. One is just getting separated.
Right.
And I've had people, pastors say, well, no, they need to, you know, they need to stay in a covenant. Can I explain what a covenant is?
Please do.
Covenant is I have covenant with my God. I have a blood covenant. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and I have a blood covenant with him. That's why I take communion. In a particular body and his blood.
Right.
And so when you get married, when my wife and I, we said, you know, hey, will you marry me? When I said that, she said, yes. And well, we weren't married yet.
Right.
And so then we went to the altar and we said our vows and we still weren't married yet. But it wasn't until we said, I do and I accept, then that's when we made a covenant with one another.
Right.
Right? That's a covenant, a marriage covenant.
Right.
But that covenant was under the blood. I didn't give my heart to my wife, and she didn't give her heart to me, praise God. Our hearts belong to Jesus. I can't give what I don't own. And so if I don't own my heart, it belongs to him. I can't give my heart. And so many people are caught up in that trap of religiosity. Well, you know, they gave their hearts to one another. They're stuck in this marriage. No, you're not stuck in that. It's a one-way covenant. It's no covenant. A covenant has to be an agreement between a party. And so a marriage must be a man and a woman. I'm just clarifying that for all the viewers right now.
Thank you. We need you nowadays. Yep.
Yes. And so it's between a man, and he knows he's a man, and a woman, you know, personally to be godly men and women that love Jesus.
Yep.
And when they come together, two become, it's a becoming of one. And so when it comes together, there's holiness, not perfection, because God perfects that which pertains to you. There's still working. My wife still helps correct me, and I still help correct her. We work together. We work through problems and situations. But when you have one person that's committed to it, and you have another person that's not committed to it, but keeps striving, that's not covenant. You know, many people have lip service, but their hearts are not in it. You know, we are justified by our hearts, the Bible says, right? As you confess it, Jesus, you confess with your mouth, Jesus, Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Right.
For it's with your heart that you believe and are what? Justified. It's with your mouth that you believe in or confess and are saved. So in a marriage covenant, it's the same thing. If there's no agreement and there's no heart transformation, in other words, they're not just marrying you so that they can have time in a sack or in the bed with you, and that's their marriage, that's not a marriage covenant. Yeah. And so there's consecration that comes in that, but for those of you, I'll keep it, you know, simple and above.
Don't stay in a relationship where you're getting beat. I mean, that's really, you know, we want to take it down to the core.
It's not of God.
It's not of God. Yeah. You're a child of Most High God, and, you know, you've got to make sure that you identify.
Get out.
Yeah, get out. Now, Stan, we only have 2 minutes here, so that's why I want you to do this for the next 2 minutes, or about 2.5 minutes here, is to pray with the folks, that because there's people that are listening right now. And we didn't really know the direction the Lord was going to take today's broadcast, but I think clearly the Holy Spirit showed us there are many people out there that need healing and deliverance from being abused emotionally, physically, touched as a child. A lot of the things that we discussed today, and they have not been addressed in the church. And God has led them to this broadcast on this radio show or on however you're watching. And so I believe God led you here to evangelist Stan Lovins that's preaching this message to a generation that needs to hear it. Stan, let's get him delivered.
My friend, you have a heavenly Father that loves you. He didn't appoint you to be beaten. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. He didn't say beat my sheep. And so I share this with you. You're not to be beaten and broken down. And all that shame, Jesus scorned. So by your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk you through a prayer. And by your faith, it's not a particular prayer. This is by your faith, walking through foundational biblical truths to set the captives free. You can walk through right now and take authority over these things. And it's time. You're not a doormat. You're not to be beaten, spit on, chewed up. Even word curses are still curses. Or, you know, friendly fire is still deadly. So you don't have to be a doormat or a target to somebody just to abuse you. Set yourself apart. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Jesus scorned all shame. So right now, say, Lord Jesus. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus. I reject all that stain. I turn from all stain. I turn from all sources of pain and shame. And Lord Jesus, I trust in what you did on the cross of Calvary. You took on sin, sickness, shame, pain, and all diseases and all viruses and all sickness. And you nailed it to the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
So Jesus, by your authority, I receive your forgiveness. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, because you rose again.
Hallelujah. We lost Stan there. I know the enemy does not want him on.
You reached the voicemail.
And now, so he's talking, but we lost him as he was praying. And that's because so many of you folks are getting delivered right now. So I just want to finish this off by saying, thank you, Jesus. Okay, here's Stan again. Let's go ahead and finish this off. Stan, I know the enemy's mad. We were just in the middle of praying, and then you got cut off there, man. So we're gonna patch you back in right now. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, let's finish that prayer, because the enemy, I want everybody that's watching and hearing this to understand this is spiritual warfare. We literally have tried to do this interview for how long now? 4 or 5 weeks. And it's been
4 or 5 weeks.
And every time there's been something. And today I'm not even feeling that good, but I said nothing's going to stop it. And so, Stan, we got one more minute left here. Let's go ahead and just finish that prayer.
Right now, say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior, as my God. And as you forgive me, Jesus, I choose to walk in obedience, and I forgive. I don't trust them, but I forgive everyone who's hurt me, violated me, taken advantage of me, or my family.
Yes.
And I forgive them right now. Yes. As Jesus, you've forgiven me. And by your authority, I bless them to be healed, delivered, freed, and saved. And I arrest them by the Holy Ghost, never to harm anyone ever, ever again in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, heal me, fill me, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and your holy fire to become the individual that you created me to be. And God, I give you all glory. For this day, we trust and abide in your resurrection power, because now I'm a child of God. And I will not, shall not be trampled on again. Lead me by the counsel of the Holy Spirit with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight, discernment to fulfill your will. In Jesus' name.
Woo!
Amen.
Jesus' name, you are set free. The Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. Evangelist Stan Lovin. Stan, where can they find you online?
Well, they can go to stanlovins.com, stanlovins.com, or they can also go to social media with Facebook, Stan Lovins II, capital I, capital I, and also on Instagram. So we're looking forward to hearing from y'all. Please give us a testimony, share it with Todd, or share it with myself or both of us, just how God intervened in your situation and how you got set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. All right, we're out of time. We love you, Stan, and you know how to find him. We'll put the information below, and tune in next week. This is Pastor Todd Coconato. You're tuned into The Remnant, and you can find us at PastorTodd.org. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name.